Thanks for listening.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners. So we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Anna Mateo and Brian Lynn. Later, we will present our American history series, The Making of a Nation. But first, 19-year-old Zara Rutherford is looking to become the youngest woman to fly solo, or by herself, around the world. The young Belgian-British pilot left Belgium in August. Rutherford hopes to complete her 51,000-kilometer trip across 5 continents and 52 countries by mid-January 2022. She recently talked about the difficulties involved in crossing northern Russia after landing in Jakarta, Indonesia. She told reporters in Jakarta the hardest part of her trip so far was flying across Siberia in northern Russia. She noted that if anything went wrong, any help she would need in freezing temperatures would likely be hours away. "If for any reason the engine stops, I think I could survive. I could either land on the land or use the parachute or ditch in the water. I'll be okay," Rutherford said. She added, "The problem is, if I'm in minus 35 degrees Celsius, once I'm on the ground and I'm 3 hours away from the closest human, I actually don't know how long I can survive." Rutherford describes every solo flight as an adventure. An adventure is an exciting or possibly dangerous experience. She added that flying solo tests her wits or her knowledge and creativity. She said she hopes her trip inspires other young women to enter the fields of aviation, science, technology, mathematics, and engineering.
On December 25th, the new James Webb Space Telescope launched into space from South America on a European Ariane 5 rocket.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, unité, top, décollage.
Décollage, liftoff from a tropical rainforest to the edge of time itself. James Webb begins a voyage back to the birth of the universe.
NASA and the European Space Agency's Hubble telescope has been circling the Earth for nearly 32 years. Webb is widely seen as the next generation telescope. Experts recently spoke with the Associated Press about the differences between the two telescopes. But when talking with scientists of astronomy, do not ask them to pick a favorite. Comparing Hubble and Webb is like asking if you love your second child as much as your first, said Susan Mullally. She is Webb's assistant project scientist at the Space Telescope Science Institute in Baltimore, Maryland, in the United States. Hubble will always be loved for its awe-inspiring images of our universe and will continue to collect important data for astronomers. But the Webb telescope, Mullally adds, will permit us to see places in the universe never before seen. The Webb telescope is bigger and 100 times more powerful than Hubble. In 1990, the Hubble caught a ride to its orbit inside NASA's Space Shuttle Discovery. For Webb, the NASA website explains that it was helpful for the launch to be near the equator because the spin of the Earth can help give an additional push. Hubble circles 530 kilometers overhead. That distance was determined by the abilities of NASA's space shuttles. When problems happened on Hubble, ground control specialists and astronauts were able to fix them. However, this will not be the case with Webb. Webb is heading to a much more distant spot, 1.6 million kilometers away. If it runs into problems, it will be on its own. Webb is expected to record light from the universe's first stars and galaxies. This is beyond the abilities of Hubble. This light will show us how the original stars looked 13.7 billion years ago. Hubble has looked back as far as 13.4 billion years. Astronomers want to close that 300 million year hole with Webb. This will come ever closer in time to the Big Bang, the moment the universe formed 13.8 billion years ago. Hubble sees what we see, visible light. Webb has infrared vision, so it can see light that is invisible to the Hubble. It can see through clouds of space dust. The shorter visible and ultraviolet light given off by the first stars and galaxies have been stretched as the universe grows. So Webb will see them in their infrared form, which is stretched out and giving off heat. Webb's detectors need to run at minus 240 degrees Celsius. To stay this cold, Webb carries an umbrella the size of a tennis court. Between each of the sun shield's five layers is a hole so heat can escape out the sides. To see the universe's first stars, Webb needs the largest mirror ever launched for astronomy. The Webb mirror is more than 6.5 meters. Hubble's is 2.4 meters across. However, Webb's mirror is lighter because it is made of beryllium, a strong but lightweight metal. The Hubble and Webb do have things in common. Production of both were years late and over budget. NASA's cost for Hubble from its 1970s development until now is about $16 billion. Webb's price tag is an estimated $10 billion. That includes the first 5 years of operation. The European Space Agency is paying for the launch costs. I'm Anna Mateo.
The year 2021 was a big year for new space exploration. But next year also promises major new developments. Here is a look at some of the biggest space missions expected to launch in 2022. The American Space Agency, NASA, is planning to launch the first test of its Space Launch System, or SLS, in March. NASA has called SLS the world's most powerful rocket. It is expected to begin a new generation of human space exploration. SLS is the first rocket designed to carry both astronauts and supplies in a single mission to the moon. It is scheduled to launch Americans back to the moon as part of NASA's Artemis program. Artemis aims to land the first woman and first person of color on the moon. NASA's goal for landing on the moon's surface was to do so by 2024. But NASA Administrator Bill Nelson told reporters in November the target date is now 2025 at the soonest. It would be America's first visit to the moon since NASA's Apollo 17 mission in 1972. The SLS flight in March will not include astronauts. During the test mission, NASA's Orion spacecraft will launch from the SLS rocket and travel 450,600 kilometers from Earth. NASA says this is farther than any spacecraft built for humans has ever traveled. The mission is expected to last 4 to 6 weeks. Several nations will aim to send spacecraft to the moon in 2022. India will seek to land a robot explorer or rover on the moon's surface, India Today reports. The Chandrayaan-3 mission follows an attempt in 2020 that ended with the country's lander and rover crash-landing on the moon. India has said its new rover will seek to confirm the presence of water in the form of lunar ice. The Japanese space agency plans to launch its Smart Lander for Investigating the Moon, or SLIM, in April 2022. The agency says the mission is designed to demonstrate lunar landing methods involving a small exploration vehicle. Japanese space exploration company iSpace announced last April that it would transport a rover belonging to the United Arab Emirates to the moon in 2022. Japan's iSpace will provide the lander to carry the rover. The lander will launch from a Falcon 9 rocket built by American company SpaceX. Russia is planning to launch a lunar lander in July, Russia's TASS news agency reported. The Luna 25 mission aims to land an explorer on the south polar area of the moon. The spacecraft will study materials on the lunar surface as well as in the outermost part of the moon's atmosphere. In November, SpaceX chief Elon Musk said his company would attempt in 2022 to launch its reusable spacecraft, Starship, into orbit. It will be the first orbital test flight for the spacecraft. Musk said SpaceX will carry out several test flights before beginning to launch satellites and other missions on Starship rockets in 2023. NASA has an agreement with SpaceX to use Starship for transporting astronauts to the moon. Musk has said he also plans to use the rockets to land people on Mars. A joint Russian-European mission to send a rover to Mars is expected to launch between August and October 2022. The ExoMars mission will put the rover called Rosalind Franklin on the surface of Mars to search for signs of possible past life. A NASA mission called Psyche is expected to launch in August. The Psyche spacecraft will travel 3.5 years to a metal asteroid orbiting the Sun between Mars and Jupiter. Psyche's science experiments will gather information on the asteroid. Scientists believe it could have separated during violent crashes during the solar system's formation. And NASA's DART spacecraft is expected to reach the asteroid system Didymos between September 26th and October 1st. The spacecraft will attempt to strike a non-threatening asteroid as a test to see how the crash affects the space object's path. I'm Brian Lynn.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. In the 1890s, the American people were deeply divided over the nation's money system. Should the United States support its currency with gold or with gold and silver? The question became the main issue in the presidential election of 1896. Kay Gallant and Harry Monroe tell the story of that election.
Many Americans wanted a gold standard. They said the United States should support its money only with gold. A gold standard, they said, would keep the value of the dollar high. These people were called gold bugs. Most were businessmen, bankers, and investors. Many other Americans wanted the United States to support its money with both gold and silver. They thought the value of the dollar was too high. A high dollar, they said, drove down prices for agricultural products. A silver standard would lower the value of the dollar. These people were called silverites. Most were farmers, laborers, and owners of small businesses.
The debate over gold and silver was especially important because of an economic depression that began in the United States in 1893. Thousands of banks and businesses closed. Millions of men lost their jobs. Foreign investors withdrew their money from America. Americans who had money were afraid to invest it. Many people believed the depression would end if the government issued more paper money backed by silver. President Grover Cleveland disagreed, and he opposed any legislation that might threaten the gold standard. He noted that every major nation supported its paper money with gold. The United States would be foolish, he said, not to do the same. It could not stand apart from the world's other money systems.
President Cleveland belonged to the Democratic Party. By 1896, many Democrats had become silverites. They gained control of party organizations in several western and southern states. They called Cleveland a traitor to his party and to the American people. They did not want him to be the party's candidate in that year's election. The Republican Party also was divided over the issue of gold and silver. Some members from silver mining states in the West left the party. Others remained in the party but gave support secretly to silverite Democrats. Republicans had done well in the congressional elections of 1894. They won control of both the Senate and House of Representatives. Party leaders were sure a Republican could be elected president in 1896. The most likely candidate appeared to be Governor William McKinley of Ohio.
McKinley was, in fact, nominated on the first ballot at the Republican convention in St. Louis, Missouri. The Democratic Party held its nominating convention in Chicago, Illinois. The most likely candidate was Congressman Richard Bland of Missouri. A majority of convention delegates, however, were silverites, and they expected to nominate a silverite candidate. Supporters of President Cleveland wanted to test the silverites' strength. They demanded a debate on the gold-silver issue. Several men spoke in support of President Cleveland and the gold standard. Several spoke in support of silver. The last to speak was Congressman William Jennings Bryan of Nebraska. He had led an unsuccessful fight in Congress to keep America using silver.
Bryan spoke emotionally during the convention debate. He said he represented America's farmers, laborers, and small businessmen who wanted a silver standard. Bryan ended his speech with a line that became famous during the campaign. It called to mind the torture and death of Jesus Christ. Bryan said gold supporters could not force their money system on silver supporters. "You shall not," he said, "crucify mankind upon a cross of gold." With those words, William Jennings Bryan won the nomination away from Congressman Bland. He would be the Democrats' presidential candidate. He was just 36 years old.
A number of Democrats refused to accept Bryan as their candidate. They withdrew from the Chicago convention and held one of their own. They called themselves National Democrats. They nominated candidates for president and vice president, but they did not win many votes in the election. America's third party at that time, the People's Party, had a difficult decision to make. Populists, as they were called, agreed with silverite Democrats that the United States should have a silver standard. So some believed the party should unite with the Democrats to support Democratic candidate William Jennings Bryan. If they did not, Republican William McKinley was sure to win the election. Other populists feared that such a union would mean the end of the People's Party. The populists solved the problem at their nominating convention. Like the Democrats, they chose Bryan to be their candidate for president. But they chose a different candidate for vice president. In this way, William Jennings Bryan was able to run for president at the head of two separate political parties.
There was a great difference in the way the two presidential candidates campaigned. William McKinley refused to travel. Instead of going to the voters, he let the voters come to him, and they did. Railroad companies supported McKinley. They ran special trains to his home in Ohio. The trip was free. Each trip was the same. A band met the train and marched with the group to McKinley's home. McKinley came outside to hear a statement of support from the leader of the group. Then he made a short speech and shook hands. The group left, and another one came. On one day of the campaign, McKinley met 30 groups this way. That was more than 80,000 people.
While McKinley stayed at home, William Jennings Bryan traveled. He visited 27 states and spoke to 5 million people. Bryan explained that he had to travel because the Democratic Party did not have enough money to campaign in other ways. Bryan spent $650,000 on his campaign. McKinley spent $3.5 million. Bryan's main campaign idea was that the gold standard would ruin America's economy. McKinley's main campaign idea was that silver money would ruin the economy. For a time, Bryan's campaign seemed to be succeeding. More and more people promised to support him. Then, in the final weeks before Election Day, the situation began to change. The depressed economy showed signs of improving. The price of wheat rose for the first time in several years. Perhaps, people said, it was wrong to blame gold for the Depression. Perhaps, they said, the ideas of William Jennings Bryan were wrong.
On Election Day, it was soon clear who had won. McKinley received 270 electoral votes. Bryan received 176. Bryan congratulated McKinley. Then he told his supporters to begin getting ready for the next presidential election. "If we are right about silver," Bryan said, "we will win 4 years from now."
McKinley's election seemed to give new life to the American economy. Within a month, a business publication reported that buying and selling had increased greatly. It said demand for goods had led to the reopening of factories closed during the Depression. At the same time, new supplies of gold were discovered in Alaska, Australia, and South Africa. The extra gold increased the supply of money in the same way silver would have increased it. Taxes on imported goods rose to almost 60%. Under this protective tariff, American industry grew fast. The Depression ended.
The economic depression of the 1890s forced Americans to worry first about developments at home. But there were a number of international developments then which involved the United States.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.